Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Cobiello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to mitigate crises and help teams get back on track. This podcast is about helping the C-suite leader to navigate challenges with confidence. For today's leader, I'm here to help you get back on track. Tomorrow's leader, let me partner with you to learn the secrets of the C-suite. Wherever you're at in your career, this is the podcast for you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Michael Bork from the Drop-In CEO with Deb Cobiello. And I'm going to be doing an interesting interview with Deb today. And I think this is going to be something interesting and unique that's never been done before, perhaps not this way. I would like to interview Deb. And I first want to start out by thanking you, Deb, for giving me a great gift because you called me a few years ago and you interviewed me and you really helped me find my voice. You listened to me, you recorded that episode. And there was several things that I found remarkable about the interview. You were a good listener and you let me speak and you let me talk about various things. We got personal. It went through twists and turns. There's a moment when you paraphrase for me that I like unstucking people, getting people unstuck. And that really resonates with me. And I have used that video of our interview hundreds of times when I meet people through LinkedIn and various sources and I realize that they're stuck. I say, watch this. Watch only the 5 minutes even, because it's an hour long. And usually an hour and a half goes by and they say, that was one of the greatest interviews I'd ever seen. It was so personal. It meant a lot to me. I resonated a lot with you, Michael. They resonated with what you said and they want to know more. And I think that's led to more traffic on your website and your brand. So I'm a super big fan of what you're doing, but I'm too very curious about you. I'm very curious about is how you even got started with the Drop-In CEO in the first place. I think you're doing great work. You have a great brand. And I think it's interesting to flip it around for today. And I get to interview you. I actually look up to you and I would love to be able to be a podcaster and kind of do an extension of your work because I too am out there trying to unstuck people. I keep meeting people all the time. Maybe you're stuck a little bit too. And maybe that's a way we can talk about that too. I have a list of questions, but the first one I would like to start with is, please tell me about how you started the Drop-In CEO. What happened? Tell us that story, please, Deb.
So, Michael, first of all, thank you for the opportunity, one, to have you as a guest host on my show. It's an honor. I appreciate you being such a fan. And by the way, where should I send that check to for those wonderful words that you had to say about me? But seriously, the Drop-In CEO was something that just happened by accident. So I started my business back in December 2018 and put the shingle out there and started hitting the pavement, networking and trying to find my first gigs. And during that time, I also had an opportunity to be a guest on a podcast. And I got the bug. I loved being interviewed and having the opportunity to share my story with others. So I started shopping myself around to be on other podcasts. And there was this one that was very brief, only 15 minutes, by Mario Pereca, who interviewed me. And he says, Deb, what is it that you do, just to describe my offer and what I do? And I said, well, I'm like the Drop-In CEO. I drop into businesses, I assess the landscape, and I elevate the people for a lasting impact, and then you pull me out when you no longer need me. And I told the story of a particular CEO that dropped into a startup company I was in. He rolled up his sleeves, we did the work that needed to be done, made us feel respected and valued, and elevated our capability, and then he left. But I remember that persona of not only fixing business issues, but making us feel really good. And so that was what I was emulating and channeling in the way I operate when I drop into businesses. So he says, that's brilliant. Where'd you come up with the Drop-In CEO? I said, I don't know. It just came out of my mouth. And he says, you should brand that. And I was like, oh, no, I can't do that. And I still didn't know anything about personal branding. And then it took me about 5 months to really own that. That's who I am. That's what I stand for. And then I said, I am going to start my own podcast. And so that's where the Drop-In CEO podcast came from, February 2020, just before COVID. So I got in a few interviews and this was the perfect time to do that. But then I later had it trademarked because it was such a strong message to differentiate who I am as a person, as a brand, and what I stand for when we help businesses and individuals. It's strong and it resonates with a lot of people. So Drop-in CEO, that's where it came from.
You know, I'm an inventor, and some of the best things are invented right on the spot. So it sounds like you invented that name. It just came right out of your mouth, and then it was coined from that far out.
You know, I will tell you, Michael, it's one of those things, and I think a lot of people can resonate with this. We go into our corporate careers if we don't go into entrepreneurship, and we kind of fit into a square. You know, we are told to, you know, scribble or draw within the lines. And I will tell you that as I moved up the corporate ladder and I got into my last job, I realized that I no longer fit. And it became quite apparent when I did leave corporate and start up my own business. And I did work for a contract gig for a short time. And when they said, "Deb, we appreciate all your creative ideas," I said, "But do me a favor, just stay within the lines." And I was like, "Oh my God." And that statement absolutely killed me because I was finding my voice. I was starting to be creative. And then I realized I was becoming the person I once was before society and the school systems, et cetera, didn't force me. It was by choice. I became a STEM professional, very structured and disciplined, and have done great work for businesses. But I realized truly I am a creative. And so every opportunity for me to speak, to say something, who knows what'll come out of this mouth or what content I'll create or the guests that I find that are the advocates, the supporters of the brand or people I partner with, you just never know. So like you, a creative, an innovator that I think I am at now and want to continue to pursue because I want to help other people as well through this beautiful platform of podcasting.
It's really purposeful work that you're doing, getting the conversation started. I wanted to ask you, you kind of talked a little bit about already, but what are some things that worked and what are some things that maybe didn't work? I would imagine you would have had to take a lot of twists and turns. It's not so easy. As I cited in our last interview, it's sometimes a roller coaster and you're zigzagging all around. Were there some ups and downs? Were there some things you learned you want to share?
So when we think about that, are we talking in the context of building a brand or building the podcast or building a business? Which one path shall I pursue?
Well, I would think the last two I'm curious about because I'm really curious about the brand and the drop-in CEO. I really love the idea of the drop-in CEO because I was a startup at a company and I had to take that C-level position and I was not a CEO. I really could have used someone like you to come in and play that role, teach me to do the right things, even, you know, things like how to build the right teamwork, you know, really how to step and do the right things. And so okay. I really think that's a great function that you do is being able to drop in, get things ready, teach, advocate, and then, you know, leave, ultimately leaving them with the success that they need to build their own brand, their own companies, right?
So what I think I've gleaned is from making mistakes in corporate. You know, obviously, as a STEM professional, technical person, you know, I grew up being rewarded for solving hairy issues and solving problems, getting the results, et cetera. And over time, that got me only so far. And then I got to a crossroad in my last corporate role as the head of quality for North America for a global company, where I realized that I could no longer be the subject matter expert, that I could realize better performance if I unleashed the potential of the people around me. And so I moved away from that firefighter mentality that many leaders thrive in to one that realized their leadership purpose. And how was I going to operate differently? And that was a winning formula that takes amazing subject matter experts around me and look at the things that held them back. And when I was able to deeply listen to what the issues were and be able to reframe back to them what I saw as what was holding them back and providing them positive value-added feedback that was actionable because I could go off and feedback is a gift. People don't know how to share feedback. But in that self-discovery of who I was going to be as a leader and then how I elevated my team to move ourselves from being number four to number two in about 18 months because I led differently. And I was thinking differently, that I realized I was onto something. And when later they said, "Okay, that's nice, Deb, but we want you to do X, Y, and Z and just get us the results," I was starting to feel uncomfortable that what leadership needs to do is, yes, we are accountable for getting particular results. But the greatest thing that we are meant to do is evolve the performance of the people because they know their job. And if you have a clearly articulated purpose in the company, if you can break down the barriers of their own mindset, the interactions with people and give them the confidence, the capacity, or the capability to do what they're meant to do, then ultimately they will perform and you achieve peace of mind. And that's where the CEO's compass came from, is being able to look at all the dimensions of where a leader might get off track and put distilling that down into my message of, you know, choose your own adventure. You want to get to true north or peace of mind. Pick a compass point where you feel off track. That whole process, I realized what I stood for as a leader. And I took that into my own business, the Illumination Partners, and created the Drop-In CEO brand. Wanted to differentiate myself so I could stand out from all those other business advisors. But my purpose is ultimately, and I got very clear on this after many trials and tribulations, I'm here to serve the C-suite leader of today and tomorrow, to navigate challenges with confidence. And it's by assessing the landscape, fixing the business issue, but also elevate the people so that they can perform in the new current state. That just became the brand. And that didn't happen overnight. A lot of self-discovery. I think it took a couple, 3 years to figure that out, but it is strong. And it stands out. And anybody that meets me realizes it's a very strong differentiator, which is what I've learned to stand out amongst everybody else to be able to do the work that I want. I know I've given you a lot, but that kind of tells you the ups and downs of what I needed to go through in order to arrive at this place now.
Well, I'm going to do something that you did with me, and I'm learning this from you too, is reframe the discussion. It's actually a very good not a trick. It's actually a very good technique of listening after someone talked for a while, to sort of bring them back through what they just said. And they're like, yeah. So I'm going to do that with you a little bit here. You talked about trademarking. You talked about the CEO compass as a part of your brand, as a part of your product. You talked about your style. And something that you said to me really stuck out, confidence. And I've had this idea that C could mean a lot of different things. It doesn't have to mean chief, right? It could mean confidence. It could mean courageous. It could mean a lot of different words, right? And I think that truly, ultimately, I was a startup, and it's a scary situation to be in. You have all these people, and you want everybody to be working hard. Sometimes people need to put in weekend hours. It's so hard. And we don't want these leaders to be treating people the wrong way. I've actually been fortunate in my career to find ways to work with people where I get them working on their own ideas. When you have them doing that, it's a much better proposition for everybody. And I just enjoy doing purposeful work in my own way with that I've learned from you.
And if I could add on to that, it just is there's a difference in leadership, and we're very much aligned here, is if you're a top-down, results-driven organization and tell people just to get the results, they will be heads down and only give you that. If a leader can articulate the purpose and paint a picture of what the future looks like, and then ask people to come to work with their minds and say, how can we get there? You unleash potential, more ideas than you ever could have imagined, and you will achieve that vision, and the results will come. It's a very different kind of leadership.
And you will attract and nurture great talent, right? Because we all want everything you just said, we all want, right? You know? So I think that's wonderful. So let me get back to my questions here. What is your favorite interview that you've done? You've done 250 interviews. Besides ours, what would be one of your favorites that you'd like to tell us about and why?
You know what? I know you gave me these questions ahead of time. You know, I'm in the moment.
Maybe you don't have a favorite. That's okay.
I'm in the moment. So here's, when I am interviewing anybody, they are my favorite. They are my favorite because it's unfair to compare one to the other. We're all humans. We have a common thread. We're part of the human race. Mm. But at the same time, I am present to recognize their gifts and their talent. And I will tell you, I just got off of two interviews today. And while I was, of course, I have my questions. I'm ready to ask the next question or go zigzag or what have you. But I have been trying to perfect the art of just being present. And when I allow myself to be totally present in the stories they're telling, I am entranced. I am taken to a completely different place, for which sometimes I got to be careful because when they're done talking, it's like, oh, what's the next question here? But they're all favorites because they have unique perspectives. And I'm inspired by them. I mean, I do the podcast, yes, to provide value for other people. But if I'm not inspired by the conversation, then what does my audience think? So there's a few that do stand out for me. I have one person that I've had on the show a couple times, and it's around ethics. Rabbi Yonason Goldson, who talks about ethical conundrums, he's the ethics ninja, and he is a person that brings in 5,000 years of Jewish history into present-day ethical challenges. And what he does is he bridges the gap between history and our and what we're dealing with today, and doesn't necessarily judge or play one side against the other. But what he does is he gets us to think and also to engage in conversation, where society today has gotten so divisive that it shuts down any amount of discussion of understanding our differences and maybe finding a common ground or agreeing to disagree. That kind of person, I didn't want to single him out, but that kind of person is who I bring onto the show. To people that think a little bit differently, go against the grain, are connected to humanity, because again, that's how all this works, is forming deep relationships with people in the different ways that they do it.
So hopefully what a great answer. It does. I mean, it's a very smart answer, but it's also a very honest answer, because I agree, being in the moment and being present with the person is really important. So I totally really just like the answer a lot. Okay, well, how can others join your cause? I would like to start off my own podcast. I want to get talking about this topic too. I've got a nice microphone here and some good audio stuff and some setup. I have a nice background like you do, but how does someone catch on to this, and how to join your cause?
I think what it means is, and I've learned this the hard way, is what do I stand for? I mean, what is my purpose? What is my vision? And it is truly not for self-grandeur, but it is truly to help others so they don't have to struggle as much. Again, my backstory. Again, you know, I've had adversity in my background. We all have at some point. Some play victim to it. Others rise above. So I have risen above, not only personally, but professionally. And I don't want others to struggle like I did. Again, I always found ways through or around my career challenges. But I see so many people, so many talented people get stuck. They get stuck, and it's either themselves in their head that they're stuck, or they're in an environment that they can't see has holding them back. And I try to help them give tips and tricks on how to navigate within the current environment, but first with starting with yourself. And again, that's chapter one of the CEO's compass. We first have to look inside. Don't point fingers at your environment, but what do you own as a person? And so what people show up at my doorstep, I seek to find their value. I see them for who they are, try to help them get unstuck. And so that's part of what the podcast is about. It's also about CEOs. They too can get stuck. And so I like to talk to them, understand their challenges, their opportunities, but also bring guests on that have insights or things or offers or services that can help that demographic as well. So I think I'm deviating a little bit here, but how does one get started? It's being very clear on why are you doing what you're doing. Had I done it because I just want to monetize and make a boatload of money, my strategy might have been a little bit different. But I leaned into my creative interest of just interviewing people and being curious, and then realizing with the signals from the universe, people like what I'm doing, and then going with it.
Yes.
And then just realizing
listening to those signals
and the value. I mean, you and I today are here because you found value in the conversation, and we're continuing the conversation, and the creativity and the serendipity of it all. Like, you never know what's going to happen, fuels my soul and my joy. So again, if somebody wanted to do something like this or write for Inc. magazine, just understand why are you doing it, either for self or for others. And that will be what pulls you through the ups and downs and zigzags.
I want to go back to something that you spent reminded about. I want to ask you, you know, when you do these interviews that are very engaging and fun, as you say, how do you feel afterwards? It must feel great. It must feel like you just were on stage, or maybe you're exhausted a little bit. I don't know. What is it that you do, Deb? How do you feel after one of these interviews?
It is all of the above. It is exhilarating when you're done. This is a PG show, but you know, when you're done, it feels wonderful because you just are in flow, and I find joy being in flow in the creative process. I feel good when I believe I have delivered a great experience for the guest, and believing that I've delivered a great experience for my potential listeners. And I'm feeding my soul by doing this. So I always feel good. And then I get the affirmation from the guests that they really appreciate it. But the true joy is when it's not a one and done. Because I have had a lot of people on the show that are just trying to build out content, build out their brand. They're just trying to, you know, and they're not interested in a relationship. And I am doing this to build those relationships in the hopes and the belief that for the long term, those relationships will come back in a way that I can serve more, whether it's financially or being on a bigger stage than just this podcast one. So, but also I'm exhausted. I am somewhere in between an introvert and an extrovert. I am exhilarated and energized by the experience. But when I'm done, I am tired and I have to go to my quiet place for about 5 minutes to re-energize because I put so much mental and physical energy into the process. It is hard being a podcast host because you have to manage the flow, provide a great experience, make sure you achieve the outcomes you're trying to achieve. And obviously then great audio and video quality all come with. It's hard, but it's
purposeful. And post-editing too, right? Don't you have to do a lot of editing and sort of snipping? And
Depends on the level of investment that you want to make. You can do it all on your own by doing your own video editing and all of that stuff. But there is a little bit. I enlist the services of a podcast company that at least helps edit the quality of these conversations and then does the distribution to all the different platforms where technically I don't want to play. And they also provide me the show notes and assets that I need such that I can post or I can share them with my guests to promote the show. All that back office administration, I appreciate the deep value that they provide, allowing me just to show up here and do the interviews. So yes, there is a little bit of some file manipulation. And yes, I am starting to do my own little video shorts from this, which I'm really enjoying. Maybe I'll get
I'm enjoying those too.
I know, really. There's so much fun.
And you get a little small bite-sized piece of something and you may not have all day to watch the video, but they got the message right away, right? And you've taken the time to decide what is this piece and clip I want to share, right?
I mean, that's recent in the last couple of months is the video strategy. And we can go there, but I realize that I write a lot. That's one form of communication. The audio, the podcast is one form of connecting with people. But there was a demographic I wasn't completely reaching and I knew I needed to do video.
Something I noticed about the video that we did is I use the word a lot. I'm this, I'm that. And I think you edited all that out somehow. Maybe it was one of these tools, but it was awesome.
So
I know they make a tool that does this now, which I've been experimenting with.
It could be the video shorts, the AI tool that I do use to provide me a suite of video shorts that I pick and choose which ones I use. It is possible that AI tool may snip out the but the original audio that goes out on Spotify, Apple, et cetera, I tell my editor, do not remove the and the ahs. Yeah. If you're having a coughing fit, of course, we will have those snipped out, but I go for authenticity, not perfection.
Okay, our next question. That's great. Tell me about your family life. I want to know about you did this very interesting thing recently on LinkedIn. Very brave of you. You took the camera and faced it the other way to let everybody see what we don't see. Your camera set up. I think you spoke about your mom and some things she's given you and some of your relatives and so forth. Can you just tell us a little bit about your family if that's okay? You know, we don't need to.
Yeah, so
really touched by that story.
Thank you. Well, I'm a Jersey girl by nature. I was born in New Jersey, so you might pick up a little bit of a Jersey accent here and there. Met my husband when I was actually 16 years old, too young to really get into a relationship. And he stumbled into the drugstore where I was working, visiting his friend, and he had his girlfriend with me and then spotted me and he asked, who was I? And he started having conversation with me. So anyway, fast forward, we were on and off for many years. He got engaged. I had several boyfriends. But when I got out of college, he got out of the military. We reconnected and got engaged. So anyway, I have been married for over 35 years. And we both believed in family first. And so I have three adult children. Danny's married to Camille and lives in Zurich, Switzerland. My middle son, David, 28, just got married to a girl from Germany. David's in the military and just landed landed at Fort Bragg, and his wife will be coming over in July. She had some things that she had to get done first, so I now have two daughter-in-laws, and then I'm also grateful, again, we care a lot about our children. My daughter is finishing up her fourth year in architecture at the University of Kentucky. We live in Cincinnati, Ohio. We picked up over 11 years ago for a promotion that I had, and I'm grateful that I have a partner that supported my career. Along the way, we've had ferrets, fish, dogs, et cetera. Typical family, but it's about first having dinner at the table each night when we can. It's about one of us being there for the children's sports. When there's crisis and family issues, death, illness, et cetera, we rally around. And marriage is hard. There's been ups and downs, but family first, then community, and then feeding our soul and doing stuff like this.
Well, it seems like your family has a servitude attitude. I mean, all the people serving in the military, people serving their country and serving everything from architecture to all that they're doing. It's thrilling. I didn't know that you had such a big family.
Well, I'm small. I had just one sister, but my husband is one of five. And I'm sorry I interrupted you. I'm so sorry. But you say in service, we also have scouts. I mean, my husband was a scoutmaster. My one boy got his eagle. We've been a leader of others. I was a Girl Scout leader. We believe in building the generation, providing them the skills they need. So being in service, and fireman, volunteer EMT. I don't know where that all came from, but it's our way of giving back and supporting our community.
A little interesting fact, I became a Girl Scout. I had to because I was building the Girl Scout website. My wife was a Girl Scout troop leader. And in order for me to actually give a presentation on how the website system worked, I had to become an official Girl Scout. So I've got a pin around here somewhere, but I'm really proud of that. I think giving back is a great way to practice your servitude. You know, you don't get paid at these things, but you actually can learn how to lead people, can't you? You can learn what makes others tick, how to work with others.
Absolutely. Right? So, and again, that's what we're doing now.
Service. Yes, it is. It is.
I wanted to take a moment to remind you that a recent study showed nearly 60% of leaders feel depleted at the end of the day. And this feeling is a key indicator of burnout and makes it difficult to lead and inspire others. If you've ever experienced that restless exhaustion, you know why CEOs are amongst the most likely candidates for experiencing job frustration. I wrote The CEO's Compass, your guide to get back on track, to confront those feelings and create a plan that is sustainable for you and your organization. I created a 7-point assessment that will help you figure out your problems in days, not months. And it includes so many resources, worksheets, videos, and much, much more. If this is you, please head over to my website, dropinceo.com, and click on my products, The CEO's Compass, and order yours on Amazon or other outlets. And now, back to the conversation.
Where do you hope to be in 3 years from now? Do you think that far ahead?
I am. I have this vision of being on a very large stage. And while I can say, Deb, you're already on your own stage. You're building your own stage. You're building your brand. You're building your community and audience.
Yes.
But I clearly see myself on a very large stage with lights and with hundreds or thousands of people in front of me. And it's not self-righteous, and I'm not trying to feed my ego, but it's this vision I have had so vividly since starting Illumination Partners. And I get a little bit weepy-eyed when I think about it because the image is so vivid. And I've been doing, I mean, the other thing is arriving at a venue that is 2 or 3 stories high with glass ceilings and bright natural light with a beautiful lit chandelier. And it is some kind of event or conference or workshop or something where people come together to learn or do this purposeful work. I see it so vividly. And so I've had a hard time in the last year or so to say, how am I going to get there? And so with a little help from a trusted partner, I now have some clarity in at least laying out that roadmap. And I'm smart enough to find the right people in my path that can guide me to what I want to do. I also see a media company, and it is, I've been feeling that I've got things on my whiteboard that tell me that, but also our conversation in the last few weeks has spawned that there is greater purpose through some kind of media entity or platform for which I and others can scale and help others. And it's so much more impactful than simply me dropping into one business at a time. How can we scale and accelerate and exponentially increase our impact? That's all about what I want to do. So I can't say exactly what that is, but that I'll know it when I get there. That's about two years from now.
Well, I love that vision. I actually can see it now, and I'll be in the audience. I'm envisioning a TED Talk, and I see it in your future. And, you know, I came across this quote that I reused on LinkedIn. It says that an entrepreneur is someone who leaps off a cliff and invents an airplane on the way down. And, you've been building this brand, and either you will be on your own stage, doing that, which I will help you with also if you want, or it's going to be, somewhere else. And I think that's wonderful to have as a vision. I too have a vision of getting my voice out there. That's why I'm looking up to you, why I'm learning from you, why I want to buy some of the equipment that you've got so I can make my face look just as good and background just as good. I think getting to a stage and sharing that story with a broader audience is a great thing, because people need to hear more of that from you. And I really think it could skyrocket the brand. And I think you're onto something. We are really onto something, aren't we? This new type of CEO, a person has confidence, a person that's courageous, a person that understands how to work with people and can leverage these resources, leverage their people. Purposeful work.
And those are the kind of people that I bring onto the show. I have interviewed, as I told you earlier, over 250 people on the show. And when it was the Wild Wild West, I would interview anybody. And I had some really great people, some great authors, some TED Talk people, but I cared about them and they provided great value. But at the end of the day, and I have to say it, I mean, they were just talking heads. They had their talking points. And when I would try to take them off track and engage in conversation, they actually stumbled a little bit. They would, figure it out real quickly, but then come back to their talking points. They really weren't interested in the relationship and the conversation. What I seek are to bring those CEOs of companies, I don't care how big, even if it's your of one, but of many would be better, to have those experiences. And I want to bring those people that have the right mindset, that it's through people, it's unleashing their potential, not somebody that's just accountable to a board of directors, et cetera, but really, really care. They make the right decisions in the face of adversity. Those are the kinds of people I want to bring on to the show for positivity, for lessons learned, to elevate the next generation. So there are a lot of great CEOs out there. I am in search of them. I also did a very risky, not a risky move, but I contacted a person who was the president of a media company. And I just said, I care about your brand. I care about what you put out. And I would love just to talk to you. I am tired of just going through the C-list people to the B-list people in hopes of getting to the A-listers. I'm going to go right to the top. And you know what? Because I care about those people and I care about what I do, I'm going to get one of those interviews. And so that's what's changing, is thinking bigger. I am waiting, but you know what? I'm courageous already for having done it. I have nothing to lose. Nothing.
That's right. Take a chance. Be different. Stand out, right? Go in twice, even if you have to, and lead with your enthusiasm. That's another thing I get from you, and you'll always get from me too, is I'm usually very enthusiastic about stuff. And sometimes that's the best thing about me, is I'm so enthusiastic when I work with people. I love talking to people. I love interacting with people. I love learning about who they are, why they are. And again, I go back to this interview we did. It's a very quick way for someone to know who I am in a very quick amount of time. And then you know what I do is I spend time with them getting to know them. And I think these could be interviews, actually. Maybe I should be bringing you people, or perhaps I could be help out if you ever want to take a vacation and have someone fill in for the show for a little while, like maybe I am right now. We could do that.
And so people are listening to this as we speak. And mark my words, we are recording. This is March 1st. We don't know exactly when this is going to go out. But you know what? It's not a bad idea, because if we ever want to, again, continue to enjoy our well-being, our quality of life, we have to entrust to others to take care of things when we're not there. And so this is part of me starting to think about how do we scale this? How do we reach more people? And I very much enjoy the prospect of having maybe guest hosts on the show that I know will take care of not only the brand, the show, provide great value, and provide a great experience for the guests that I brought on. So more
it gives, it would give me an opportunity to learn from you, right? I would learn so many more interesting things about how to do what you do.
You know, Michael, ultimately, you don't need any more from me. You can do this now, okay?
Well, we are doing it now.
We are doing it. You're capable of doing it. You better listen to episode number one. Oh, my. And compare
actually,
to where
you know
I'm
what?
At.
I got Rabbi to listen to, and now I'm going to go back to episode one because there are so many great episodes to listen to. But I'm glad that you like the idea. I'm glad that you're into it. I think people should experiment more. Try things, if anything. I'm a big believer in trying things, experimenting, and then adjusting, right? Adjusting. And boy, how proud would it be for me to carry that? I'm getting goosebumps right now. Just to carry the brand on an interview where I get to talk to someone that I've met that inspires me, and I think they would inspire you too. While you're on vacation, maybe taking a cruise and enjoying
going to Alaska in June.
Are you going to Alaska? Maybe that's... Here we go. We just figured out maybe the show date. But tell me about Alaska. Why are you going to Alaska?
Oh, bucket list. But first of all, it's an opportunity to cruise. Again, I've been on about three cruises with my husband and another couple. Absolutely love the experience of truly disconnecting and seeing amazing places. We've pretty much been all around the Caribbean. But you know what? Alaska intrigues me because the United States is beautiful. And that's one place I've just never been. So blame it on my niece. This is going to be Coviello Adventures. My niece, Ashley, has basically blocked out an entire floor on a Norwegian cruise line. And we have about 20 of our best friends and family going with us.
Do you really? The second week in June.
Yeah. And so it's
a family celebration on the cruise?
No, nothing particular, but it's just like, let's just do this. I mean, it's going to be memorable. We see a beautiful place that we've never been to before. Now, I had to bring my daughter over from the other side. She says, wait, I can't go to a beach. No bikini weather. She was looking for warm weather vacation, but I said, wait a second, it's Alaska. Okay, I'll be okay. I'll just go in the hot tub or something like that. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be great. And it's going to be cool to spend it with family, but also the ship is big enough that you can just go away and do your own thing and not be around people and just be alone and enjoy the moment. So yeah, June.
Do you find that when you check out and spend that time on yourself and maybe forget what you're doing, helps you refuel and energize? You come back with more passion, more... I could imagine you coming back with lots of new ideas probably too, but maybe you completely check out and don't think about anything.
Yeah, so it is both. It is both. First of all, it takes a little bit to wind down, stop looking at the cell phone, et cetera. But I will tell you, I do disconnect. My brain will almost, it's like a capacitor, it'll short circuit. Like all of a sudden, it just goes blank. And I am in the moment. I am enjoying my Blue Hawaiians or Pina Coladas. We are going out on different excursions and, you know, dance up a storm. And I am so in the moment. It's a part of me that's like totally let loose. And is that my mom? is that really Deb? Yeah, that's my wife over there. You know, it's I know how to have fun. I probably need to have more fun, but I do truly, I'm present. I've learned to be present versus, but I will tell you there are moments where maybe I'm alone or thinking, and then I do start getting these crazy new ideas and I can't wait to write them down so I can act on them. People need time to not be constantly receiving input. And so I purposely lately, even though I have tons of books to read and tons of podcasts to listen to, my brain needs to be blank to allow things to come out of it. And that's the creativity. There are times where I want to be inspired. I want to, you know, take stuff in and consume it. But when you let your mind go blank, then the ideas can flow out versus being bombarded by information flowing in. So both happen on a vacation. I let loose and I disconnect. And then the brain starts going again and I can't stop it.
Let's double click on that for a minute. That's very interesting. We are being bombarded with information constantly. And I too notice that I get overwhelmed, and it's when I go away for a little while to even take a drive. I work at home, and so working at home and being at home is an interesting phenomenon because I'm in the same place all the time. But it's when I can get out and stop remembering or even just not have the phone with me. Actually, one time my phone died, and I think I had a great time because I had no way to actually check messages or check LinkedIn. I'm kind of all over the place with sharing what my musings are on LinkedIn, which is the way we found each other. For me, I've been sort of casting a big, gigantic net. And you're one of the greatest people I've caught.
So where do I send a second check to?
No. I'm going to help you here. This has been great. I do want to get back to my interview question because I want to be a professional here, right? Well, you have actually answered a lot of these questions, but I want to ask, who inspires you?
So this is also an interesting question because I've been asked this on podcasts is, you know, inspiration. So I don't think I had a lot of sources of inspiration growing up. I do have things and memories that I remember from my grandmothers. It's interesting how they were, their presence, and what they cared about. And again, as a child, you know, I saw them for what they do, and I still do things like they would do. Had a tough upbringing. We all have had our challenges for which, you know, I don't feel inspired by what I saw. But I'm inspired by a couple of things. Again, my family, knowing that we've raised children that are citizens returning good things to the world. And when you see them stand up in public and perform or inspire or create or impact others, that's extremely inspiring. And then listening to others. And then what's really inspiring for me is, again, doing the work that I do is that when I encounter somebody, whether it's in a business transactional situation or on the podcast, when people come back to me and let me know how I have impacted them, that's inspiring to continue to do this work. So I'm living a life of being inspired now, which I didn't have. And I'll sometimes get choked up about it when I don't find those sources of inspiration, like, oh, I want to be like that person or that. I didn't have that. It was more about just do what I needed to do to get through the day, to get through school, to get a good job. It was very transactional. And but now I'm inspired all the time.
Someone could say to you, how do you get to do what you do? And it's you that you've built it, right? And something I want to touch on that we haven't talked about that inspires me is I have three kids and I have girls. Women inspire me. And I want to know, has that been something that has been something that's in the lexicon of the work that you do? Are we getting more women in leadership roles? Are we getting women in more engineering roles? One thing that I love about the industry I'm in, which is the additive manufacturing industry, it's got a lot of women in it. In fact, there's a whole group called Women in 3D Printing. And it's fabulous because when I was in manufacturing, there was all men all the time. So I think diversity is really catching on, and I just wondered if that was something that you deal with or that you think about, or maybe it's not really a thing, or I don't know.
So thank you for that question, and I'd like to address it on a, this is the professional side of me. No, I got to let my hair down a little bit. So here's the thing, men, women, and everything in between have confidence issues, self-doubt, gifts, talents. And we manifest our response to it in different ways. And so even though I may see something different in women, if I see doubt in a man about what they can do, again, I see them for who they can't see themselves. And so I don't see physical attributes when a human being is in front of me for which I see their gifts or their untapped gifts. And I say, you know, you could do this, or you're already at that next level. Now, given that, I do see a lot of women that for some reason lose their confidence, and it really starts with them. It's not the environment they're in, and I never know why they got there, but anytime somebody comes across my doorstep, and I do mentor women in Women in Flavor and Fragrance Commerce, I just see them, and I say, do you see yourself this way? Do you know you're already acting at that next level? Do you realize the CEO of the company is coming, calling you and skipping over the COO because they value what you say? And they're so caught up in the moment that they don't see it. So I find that women will play it a little bit small because they want to be perfect. It's just our DNA. We want to be perfect. I don't think it's about proving ourselves, even though I know they say, you know, the imposter syndrome. I just say nay to all of that. All of us can have this at any point. But somewhere along the way, we have gone from this child that can jump off a tree and not worry about breaking a bone and laugh when they hit the ground and are bleeding to somebody that is so risk averse And playing it small, it kills me. And so when I see that, and a lot in women, I try to bring it out. And I will find, and mind you, maybe I was dealing with high potentials. Every one of them has been promoted or moved out of the environment to one where they can thrive. So I would like to help more women through my voice in the podcast. I do try to find equal voice on the podcast, but by virtue of the industries that I'm in and statistics and maybe women not wanting to go into STEM or choosing a family, there happen to be less, but it's not because they're not qualified, but maybe they have choices or decide to go to places where they think they can thrive. And it's not about having more women at the table or anything like that. We need diversity of thought in all forms or fashions, but there is an opportunity to raise the confidence of those that are talented, and especially in the women demographic.
What a great answer that is. I guess I kind of feel the same way when I'm working with someone. It's really a human I'm looking in the eyes with. It doesn't matter all these other things. I mean, it matters, but it shouldn't really matter. And I just wondered if that was something that you've had to work with, because I want to see more women leaders. I want to see more leaders. And, you know, we say CEO, but I'm going to replace that word with leader, because that's really what we kind of just call it. But it's about leading. And another thing I want to bring up is you can be a leader, but you may not have the title yet. And that can really happen. There are people I've met who are CEO material, leadership material, and they say, yeah, but that's not my title now, so I'm just going to go into my corner. And I wonder what you would, I could see you want to react to that.
So people will ask me about my brand, the Drop-In CEO. I've never been a CEO before. Now, I call myself the founder of Illumination Partners, but it is the persona that one projects and that leadership capability to drop in as the Drop-In CEO and partner with that C-suite leader to be an extension of their capability to solve whatever issue it is. I go in with a CEO mindset to say, here's where we need to go to, and then what are the gaps? Any problem solver that can rise above and say, oh my God, this place is in chaos. We need to shore this up here. We need more resources over there. There are non-value added activities over there. Any professional as an outsider can see that. You're being the CEO. But the thing that you need, though, is to be able to message and articulate the gap between where we are now to where we need to go, to be able to shop that around to stakeholder management, change management, building trust with the people. All those other skills are then what differentiates a person that just manages stuff to being the CEO of their own domain. So again, it is a title, but it's also a mindset. And again, that's also the brand.
Yeah, the mindset is to be a true leader of yourself before you start leading other people. And I would imagine that as you go in and drop in and be the CEO or help the CEO and then leave, have you gone back and seen those positive results?
Yes. Yes.
You like this question, or you know the answer really well?
Oh my God. So that is the joy in what I've done. I dropped into one company that was seeking a certification. I helped them get the certification in record time, but it was an enabler for them to get more business. I go back now. They've built another building. They've invested millions of dollars worth of equipment. And they say, Deb, you know, look at what we have now. I said, we couldn't have done it without you. Yes.
Yes.
But then, on a grander scale is then those individuals that took advantage of my leadership while I was there and said, Deb, I'd like to be able to message better. I'm frustrated. And those people that take advantage of me in situations, I have a person, she's in California. She is ready to make a move and take on the world, but for circumstances, she's staying in the role, but she should be out and in a leadership role. And I've impacted those people as well. And we maintain a relationship, but I know she's going to take on the world at some point. That's
wow.
The beauty of it.
I'd like to hear about, maybe we should be interviewing her. Oh, that sounds fabulous.
Already did.
Already did. Of course you did. You've interviewed just about everybody. Not everybody, but a lot of interesting people. So we're getting up to the close of the hour. I wonder if you have any thoughts, last remaining thoughts for the interview, so we can cut short and give people their 15 minutes back and go check out your other shows, right?
Yeah. So, Michael, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to guest on the Drop-In CEO podcast. You're an amazing host and really appreciate it. And I would encourage you to think big, to get your voice out there, whether it's associated with my brand or perhaps your own. You have the capability. It's more a matter of just setting your mind to it, time, means, etc. Anything's possible. You know that you're an inventor. You're creating things all the time. But I think my message for folks out there is that if you feel stuck, just know this podcast and all the resources I provide, Mike provides, are resources for you to get unstuck. You have the capability. You have the capacity to do the work. You may not be in the right environment, but you can do what you need to do. It's a matter of regaining your confidence. And that's why the Drop-In CEO brand, the podcast exists for serving those people who are C-suite leaders now or tomorrow and just want to have a greater impact. Just know you can do this, but it's a matter of you having the courage to reach out and ask for help. And so for more information, please reach out to me on the Drop-In CEO podcast or go to my website, dropinceo.com. There's a contact page, or play with me, play around with me, talk to me on LinkedIn. It is me answering all those questions out there. I love the platform. I love engaging with people. And at the end, all I want to do is see you all succeed. Just like my mentor Dave says to me, he wants to see me succeed. So Michael, thank you for a great experience.
You are succeeding, and I just love what you're doing. So congratulations on all that. And we will do all that and more. So thank you for the interview and the opportunity to be on your show and to sort of run the discussion. I really appreciate that and the stories that you shared, how personal they were. I can't wait to see the reaction to people watching this. And tune in again. Make sure that you tune in again to the next show. And we'll find, if you want to be interviewed, you've got an interesting story, this resonates with you, it's time to give us a call and to take that step. So thank you, Deb.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. If you found this valuable, please share this show with at least one friend who will find it useful and inspiring. When you share this podcast, it allows me to continue to help C-suite leaders of today and tomorrow to navigate their challenges with confidence. To connect with me or learn more about the Drop-In CEO services, go to my website at dropinceo.com. And until we meet, I wish you well and much success.